and 43 to 45. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Here in a little bit, I will ask you if you want to look up something in the Bible, and so you might have your Bibles ready as well. On verse 28, it says, "About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep. They managed to stay awake and saw his glory, as well as the two men with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, 'Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. And a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.' Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. Then they were speechless, and at the time, told no one what they had seen." At the verse 43, it says, "Everyone was overwhelmed by God's greatness. While everyone was marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to the disciples, 'Take these words to heart. The human one is about to be delivered into human hands.' They didn't understand this statement. Its meaning was hidden from them, so they couldn't grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Amen. How many of you were aware of all of the stuff going around this week about watching, seeing out the western sky, looking at the planets all aligned? Yeah, there were seven planets, and everybody wanted to see it. I admit, I did not go out and look at it. My husband was like, "I'm going to go look for the planets." And he went out and came in and reported to me what he had saw. Those seven planets, anybody know how often they all line up like that? This, what I read online yesterday said 396 billion years.
Whoa.
Think we'll see it again?
No.
Kind of think not. It's pretty rare, I guess you might say. And since it is so rare, people wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to see it with their own eyes and know what was happening. But after you see it, then what? You know what I mean? You can't really get a good picture of it. Our cell phone cameras are not quite that advanced yet. It doesn't really change you, but you kind of wish there was some way to capture that moment. And that kind of came to mind when I was thinking about the phenomenon that Peter, James, and John witnessed on the mountain in Luke 9 with Jesus. See, Peter got all excited because he wished there was a way to commemorate it, to hold on to it. Just like looking there at the planets, we look at it, we go, okay, that's great, now what? How can we hold on to it? There are things that we cannot quite grasp. So we're looking at chapter 9, and we want to kind of get into what was going on with these three disciples. At the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus calls the 12 together and gives them power and authority. He gives them the power to heal illnesses and the authority to cast out demons. And he says, "Now go and do these things. Don't take anything with you. Just go." So they're all out working. And in verse 10, Jesus is preaching and then ends up, that's that miracle where he feeds over 5,000 people. Peter and Jesus have a conversation after that about who is Jesus, where Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. Then right after that, Jesus tells the disciples what's going to happen to him. So when we started the scripture at verse 28 today, and it says, about 8 days after Jesus said these things, this is what's been going on in their lives. They have been out healing, they've been given power, they've been given authority, they've seen Jesus do this miracle. They have now heard from Jesus what's coming for him in his future. And about 8 days after that, he takes these three and goes up on a mountain to pray. And it says to us that his appearance changed. His face became dazzling and his clothes became dazzling. And suddenly there were three people in front of the disciples: Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Well, it always raises a couple of questions to me. We got a chance to talk about it a little bit in children's time, Rachel, about how did they know who these people were? Because Peter said, do you want us to build something for Moses and Elijah? And I was thinking, how did he know who it was that was standing there with Jesus? Well, the answers for me, as I'm just this curious person, always trying to figure things out. For me, I think maybe it's because of what we see in these people and what we know about them and what Jesus was trying to do. Why did he pick Moses and Elijah? See, Jesus has just been foretelling his future. He's just been saying, these are the things that are going to come to pass. And the disciples couldn't grasp it. And when we're trying to explain something to someone, and our words aren't getting through, what do we do next? Right? We got to find another way to communicate what we're trying to tell them. And so, I feel like the appearance of these two prophets was Jesus trying another way to get through to them who he was and the types of things that they could see. So, let's imagine first Moses. Why we choose Moses? Jesus, first of all, they're on a mountain, right? Where did Moses go to talk to God? On a mountain. When things are happening on the mountain, they are overtaken by a cloud. When Moses went up on the mountain, what happened to Moses up on the mountain? It was a cloud that came and covered, and the people couldn't see. Now, when Moses came down the mountain, what does it say was different about Moses?
He was spectacular.
His face was glowing, right? He had to cover it with a veil to keep them from being harmed by his appearance. What happened to Jesus on the mountain? His face changed. So we're seeing a connection between Moses and the things that had happened to Jesus. And if that's not quite enough to make it where maybe this is how they were seeing and identifying this connection to Moses, in the moment where the cloud covers, God's voice is heard saying, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." If you have your Bible, would you please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and then look at verse 15. And we can hear it a couple of different ways. Deuteronomy 18, 15. And this is Moses. All right, anybody who has it, go ahead and read out what it says there.
And thy God will raise thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. To him thou shalt hearken.
Okay. I will raise up a prophet from among you. What does yours say?
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from
among
your own brothers.
From among your brothers.
You must listen to him.
You must listen to him. What does yours say, Fran? Is yours the same? 18:15.
15. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your community,
from
your fellow Israelites. He's the one you must listen to.
All right. They were all three different. So I'm going to raise up someone from among you, from among your tribes, from among your brethren, your Israelites, your community, and you will listen to his voice. What did God just say on the mountain with Jesus? This is the one. Listen to him. So if they didn't know that it was Moses just because they didn't have a picture of him in front of them, perhaps it's because they could identify all of this teaching that they'd had from Moses. His face changed. They were on a mountain. There's a cloud. God's voice comes and he says exactly what Moses said was going to happen. This is the one. Listen to him. So then we have the prophet Elijah. Elijah was the other one that they saw there, and they were pretty sure that was who it was. Now, they might not have understood why Elijah till later, okay? Might have been part of the reason they didn't tell anybody, because they were still sorting things out, processing what they had seen and all of the things that happened. Well, I'm sure y'all know what happened when Elijah left the earth. How did Elijah leave the earth? Did he die?
No.
Where did he go?
Up in
heaven. Yes. He went up in a cloud. What did Jesus do when he left the earth? He went up in a cloud. He did not die. So I feel like in a way Jesus has just told them and they weren't able to grasp what he was telling them. And so he showed them something else. First of all, we have Moses, and all of this scene looks real familiar if they know their scriptures, and we're sure they did. And the words that God said echoed back to Deuteronomy. So they have this indication, and then later in life, when they see what happens with Jesus and the way that he goes up, they also can make that connection to Elijah having been on that mountain. So do you think all of these things are accidental, or do you think God connects everything? Everything under the sun is connected. Peter, James, John, all the other disciples were having trouble keeping the connections. That's my theme word today, is connection. Because they could, you know, we kind of have a habit of being connected to what's right here, right around us, right in front of us. But it is harder for us to really grasp the depth of connection that all of humanity and nature shares. In this moment, Christ was trying to show them some of that connection. You all connect to way back, and you're going to connect to way forward. And he was trying to get them to see with more than their eyes and hear with more than their ears. He wanted them to be more connected to God in their whole entire being. In fact, Jesus gets a little frustrated later on in today's scripture when they're trying to heal this boy and they're not having any success, and they go get Jesus, and Jesus comes in and heals the boy, and he gets frustrated by the lack of faith. And Luke doesn't mention it, but if you look back in Mark 9, I believe it's verse 29, I've lost my notes here, but I think it's Mark 9, 29, Jesus tells them, when they say, well, how come we couldn't heal the boy? And he said, because this can only be done through prayer. Now, in our more advanced medical understanding today, we know probably that boy didn't have an evil spirit as much as he probably had a like epilepsy or some sort of seizures. And if we are trying to help one another when we suffer a physical ailment, what do we do? What do we just do? Joys and concerns. The only way we can help heal is through prayer. And Jesus was saying to them, the only way that this can be cast out of the boys by the power of God and prayer. You have no magic in you. Only God can truly heal. Jesus was trying so hard to get them to feel and grasp the depth of all things being connected. And we read it and we think, well, how could they have missed all of the signs of everything that was going on around them? How could they have been so involved in seeing Jesus and hearing Jesus and still been so disconnected? But I have a more modern example for you today of what it is like to live and see and know and still have a hard time grasping the thorough and depth of connection. See this? Does this look magical? Know what it is? I mean, it is what it is.
Plastic.
It's a plastic spoon. I read something earlier in February, the first week of February, that makes you look at a plastic spoon real different than you ever looked at a plastic spoon before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Researchers examined a human brain on a gentleman that had passed away. You know what they found in his brain? 7 ounces of plastic. You know how much it takes to make a plastic spoon? About 7 ounces. So this man's brain contained this much plastic when he left this earth. Can you imagine that this has become so much a part of our environment that in our brains there's this much plastic? It's kind of creepy, isn't it, to think about? And we think, gosh, why do people think so differently? Well, it's because they have spoons in their brains. Can our minds work the same they could before if we have this in our DNA? How is it even possible to have that much plastic in your body like that? Well, it's possible because it's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Read the tags in your clothes. Polyester. What is poly? Poly is plastic. What is the stuffing in the cushions on the pews? Polyester. Plastic. What is half of the things that are fixtures or light switches that I have things in my hands that are plastic? Plastic is all around us. And if that isn't enough, now we have the convenience of Tide Pods and dishwasher pods, and we throw them in the dishwasher. Does that plastic magically go away that covers the soap? It becomes part of the water. And the water coats the dishes, and we consume the water that comes out of there. In fact, if we do at home go burn plastic, what happens there? Gets in the smoke, it goes up in the air. And do you know they've also discovered that our clouds are partially made of plastic? So when it rains, what comes down from the sky?
Plastic.
It's not just the chunks you see on the beach or the chunks that are out in the water. It is literally part of nature now. Plastic. Our world creates it itself because of our own use, and it has become literally part of our beings. Now, when we pick up the plastic spoon like this, we would never think about it being connected to the sky, the clouds, the water, and our brains, would we? Every single thing is so deeply connected, far beyond what we ever imagine or think about when we just pick up a spoon. And so Jesus was trying to get the disciples to look deeper, to hear deeper, to see deeper, to understand connection on a whole different level. Something like this reminds us that everything around us is the same. Everything goes deeper. And we can become so much more connected to our earth if we really think about the we tell our kids all the time, think about the consequences, right? Everything is so connected. Do you know they make about 300 pounds of plastic per human being on earth every year? That's a lot. And if we are trying to help change things, because that's what we can do, is we can try and make a change in the ever-changing world and this new way that we are living. All it takes is one small change per person to make a really big difference down the road. And I know I'm talking about plastic, but you know, plastic's a great thing to try and protect our planet and our kids from. Also, spiritually, it is the same. Small changes create large effects for the future. The things that we do and the way that we help one another, when we go help this family with their fire, that will reach another person, which will reach another person, and down the road, it will affect a change. Everything is connected. And Jesus wanted those disciples to dig deeper and make those connections. What would it look like if we offered more than our eyes and ears and hearts to God, and instead offered our entire beings, if we looked at each and everything that we did and tried to consider the long and wide range of effect that everything we do does and touches, the way that we speak, the way that we love, the way that we steward our earth, we could try to be a part of the change that would heal every fracture. So this week I invite you to set aside time to truly listen to your prayers, listen for God's voice in your prayers, listen to your scripture, and listen to nature around you. Ask God to open your heart to a deeper understanding of His voice and show you ways that you can change. I encourage you to pay attention to what you consume, both physically but also spiritually. Notice how much plastic you use, but also what you listen to and what you read. Reduce, reuse, and rethink. As a church, let's consider how we can steward creation better and also our community. There are signs of connection to our creation and creator all around us. God is speaking not just through the scripture, but through creation and through each other. So let's not just hear, let's connect, let's understand, and let's respond. So the good news in all of this is that even when we struggle to see or to hear, Jesus invites us to the table anyway.